Untouched by human hands, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A rollicking good bit of Medicare fun. He tried to set ants on fire with a magnifying glass last night. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello again, everybody. Welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. This is your Medicare expert, Doug Jones, as my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, probably just told you. I am here to help you feel comfortable about the impending approach to Medicare that you might be dealing with. This is the most common reason that people listen to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast is to prepare for their upcoming encounter with Medicare. And I'm here to help make it a pleasant and perhaps profitable encounter. Well, not profitable in the sense that you can actually make money, but profitable in the sense that I can help you learn valuable knowledge at a very reasonable cost. And that would be by buying my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. Now, you can get that book at Barnes & Noble, or you can get it at Amazon.com. And if you go to Amazon, you're going to find four different editions available waiting for you to decide what your budget will allow. But I would suggest that most people buy the $8 paperback edition, and they wind up having that thing delivered within just a fairly short period of time. And after having spent maybe an hour and 15 minutes to an hour and a half reading it, they will have acquired more Medicare knowledge than almost anybody else in the United States of America. And I'm including highly placed government officials there. There are a lot of dopes in the Medicare business, and the dopes include people that sell Medicare Advantage coverage to unsuspecting victims, as well as people who sit there with pencil sharpeners on their desks and decide what rules and regulations are going to be applied to the hardworking salespeople by the federal government. Every time I turn around, they're trying to tighten the clamps on Medicare salespeople. So this may be why it's so difficult for people to understand what's going on with Medicare and how they can best use their newfound Medicare knowledge to their advantage without accidentally falling astray or winding up being victimized by a regulation that they didn't know about. So my goal in life is to have you have an encounter with Medicare that you come out of smelling like a rose, feeling confident. You will have gotten excellent protection for the smallest amount of money possible. And frankly, you will be traipsing off down the golden brick road of Medicare happiness and bliss for all the rest of your days if you will follow my suggestions. But anyway, I digress. I'm looking out at beautiful Arizona here, and it's often distracting. So I'm going to ask Randy Carson to bring me back to reality. Randy, how are things going in your life?
Well, I'm going to have to bring you back to reality on one point. I hate to do this for the audience, but it's really a beautiful day today. 83 degrees in our neighborhood. What's it up there in the high altitudes behind Cave Creek?
Generally, it's a little cooler, but let me see thermometer says. The old thermometer right now is telling me, come on, thermometer. It's interesting that my electronic thermometer says it's 78 degrees right now outside my window.
Yeah, that's about right. You know, 2 or 3 degrees difference between where you're at and where I'm at. That's about right, I think, don't you?
Yeah, probably so. That additional altitude means it's a little bit cooler, which is great in the summertime. But it's not so good in the wintertime when we're freezing to death at 60 degrees. You know, that's whining and complaining.
Oh, you ought to see Doug in the wintertime. I have to Oh my gosh, it's just amazing. I look at him across the the recording studio here, and he's there with mukluks on. He's got like a down coat. He's got a stocking cap, and he's got one of those what's that thing that you put over your face so your face doesn't freeze?
Well, we, before COVID, we used to call those like a muffler. No, what would we call them? We'd call them a scarf, I guess, huh?
Okay. All right. Let's call it a scarf because it's certainly not anything to do with COVID.
No, but there were a lot of people wearing masks during that period of our lives, and they were fooled into thinking that COVID masks actually protected them from the viruses that were out there.
Well, so, as you know, I've probably mentioned this to you, and I know you know this, but based on the size of the virus that COVID was caused by, it was like you could drive an 18-wheeler through most masks because it wasn't going to slow it down at all.
Oh, I know that, and you know that, but people of certain political persuasions were not ever convinced of that, and they wore those masks like a badge of honor. And it really irritated me. And I, everywhere I went, I made them force me to put masks on. If I had to wear a mask, I'd wait until they told me about five times before they would see me complying with that. But anyway, I've got all kinds of fun Medicare stuff to talk about today. And Randy's been out of action for a while, entertaining travelers from the frozen Northland. And so I have been just collecting interesting things to talk about. But I'm always over piled up. I've often got more than I can handle in any one podcast episode if we want to keep it to a reasonable length of time. I like to talk about the clients or potential clients that are corresponding with me, and we have a wonderful woman named Cindy. Cindy's from Michigan, and Cindy wrote me a short note a couple of weeks ago, and she said, "I bought and am really enjoying your book." And that's just music to my ears. What a heartwarming thing for Cindy to say. She said, "I will be 65 on July 1st, so I'm shopping. Please send me a brochure for the Medicare MSA plan that you, quote, sort of, end quote, recommend to the, please send it to this email address." She gave me her email. And furthermore, she said, "I worked for years in the utilization review department of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan in the Medicare Advantage programs, and I can tell you that they are literally dedicated to ripping off their members. It is legal robbery, stealing from the vulnerable to give to the disgusting executives and the CEO. I could do a tell-all book." Then she says, "Thank you, Cynthia." Well, Cynthia, this was certainly confirmation of what I've been yelling about for years. It's Medicare Advantage is like an organized crime syndicate. And what they do is they steal from the not so rich to give to the upwardly mobile executives that work for their little organizations. Where do they do that stealing? Well, according to Cynthia, they do some of that from the vulnerable, their members. And I know for a fact that they also do a lot of it from the taxpayers, that they're stealing money out of the U.S. Treasury with fraudulent intent. And they do that by grabbing money for each member they have enrolled, and then in many cases, telling their agents to go back, having those people fill out questionnaires, and then taking those questionnaires to the federal government as proof that the people are sicker than they were told originally, and they deserve to get more money under their contracts. Sometimes they have made up the questionnaires, had people sit down at desks and fill them out with fraudulent medical histories, just so that the federal government will write them bigger, fatter checks. And I believe Randy and I have seen articles that describe the fraudulent activity in certain years as upwards of $11 billion being looted from the U.S. Treasury. So it's nice to have people like Cindy or Cynthia, she uses both names in her little note, confirming what we've been talking about all this time. Now, on a lighter note, here is an article, giving advice like I might give, I think. Anyway, I haven't read the whole thing yet, but The headline of this article is, "With Medicare, One Size Does Not Fit All." And this is kind of like my mission in life, to convince people who are entering the world of Medicare that there are certain things that you want to stay away from, and those would be itemized in this article. So let's see what it says here. When it comes to Medicare, there is no one size fits all. Arriving at a conference, I went to hang my coat on the rack, and I noticed, oh, this is written by Diane Omdahl. We quote her frequently. She's got a business in Wisconsin. It's a little different than mine. She doesn't sell insurance. So she says that her advice is more pure than mine might be, because I do sell insurance. However, I am altruistic when it comes to giving good advice to my clientele. And so I think she's wrong about hers being more pure than mine. But anyway, she said, arriving at a conference, she went to hang her coat on the rack and noticed one that was almost identical to hers. I hung my coat as far away from that one as possible. A couple of hours later, while heading into a session, I noticed a woman wearing my coat. She was furiously checking the pockets and saying to her companion, "My keys aren't here." I walked up to her and politely said, "Your keys aren't in the pocket because that's my coat." It fit her, but it didn't meet her needs. Many people don't want to deal with Medicare. It takes time they would rather not spend. So the idea of following in another person's lead, or following another person's lead, may seem easy and convenient, but it likely won't be the right thing to do. Here are three examples based on real-life situations that demonstrate the importance of making your own decisions. Number one, choosing the same Medicare Advantage or Part D drug plan as your spouse. And you could broaden that to say, or your friend or your neighbor. Just about everyone has had coverage through an employer group health plan sometime in their lives. The plan's package of benefits and costs applies to anyone who has had the coverage without consideration of an individual's unique situation or needs. Spouses can have the same coverage as the employee. That changes in the Medicare world. Medicare is a one-person, one-plan deal. Your Medicare plan cannot cover your spouse, your children, or your partner. And unlike the typical employer coverage with just one plan, there are many Medicare options, maybe too many. Best advice, find coverage that will work for you, not only when you are spry and healthy at age 65, but down the road as you age and face health challenges. This probably won't be the same coverage your spouse or best friend has. And then she goes in a parenthetical thought, one exception, it's okay to enroll in the same Medigap or Medicare supplement policy as your spouse. This coverage helps pay the costs that Medicare Part A and B don't pay, like the hospital deductible, the 20% coinsurance. Some plans offer a household discount, a reduced premium, when two people living at the same address purchase a policy from the same insurance company. And I'll go, Diane, one better. There's at least one company I know of that offers a very healthy discount if two people are living at the same address, are over age 60, they don't have to be married, and they don't have to buy their plans from the same insurance company. Each one could have that discount, while the other person may buy a Medicare supplement from a different company. So anyway, going on farther in this article, signing up for Medicare, this is number two thing to avoid, signing up for Medicare at the same time as someone who is in a similar situation. The number of Medicare enrollment periods can boggle the mind. There are three for just getting into Medicare initially. Those three are the initial enrollment period for those turning age 65, a special enrollment period applies to those who deferred enrollment at age 65 because they were covered by an employer group health plan, and the general enrollment period comes into play when someone did not act during the prior, the IEP, and doesn't qualify for a special enrollment period. There's no doubt that taking the same course as someone else is easier. For instance, let's say your friend has the same birthday as you and enrolls in Medicare at age 65, so you do it too. However, he has retiree coverage and you are still employed. Those are two different situations that dictate two different enrollment decisions. The best advice for this situation is, when approaching age 65, figure out what you need to do about Medicare then make a plan and give yourself enough time to get Medicare right. Or I might suggest, if I were Diane, call Doug Jones. Actually, send Doug an email at the address that Randy's going to give at the end of this episode and ask him to help you figure out what you need to do about Medicare and what your timing should be. So here's the third thing that probably isn't a good idea. Enrolling in a drug plan and a Medicare supplement policy sponsored by the same insurance company. Many well-known Medicare supplement insurance companies also sell Part D drug plans in most areas. For example, in a Florida city, the Medicare Plan Finder notes one Medicare supplement insurance company offers two drug plans with monthly premiums of $80 and $170. There are 15 plans sponsored by other companies with lower premiums, starting at $9. All drug plans work the same way. The company name may be important, but is it worth it? Here's Diane Omdahl's best advice. Every year during the open enrollment period, check out available plans and find the one that best fits your current medication regimen. It's doubtful that you would have someone else pick out a coat for you, so don't let that happen with Medicare. Make your own decisions and get coverage that fits when you need it. Now, as far as drug plans go, I'm going to tell you right now that Diane should have gone farther with her best advice. In any given location in the country, there are upwards of 23, maybe 25 or 26 drug plans available. Each one of those is going to have a different price, and each one of those is going to handle the prescription medications that you take and the pharmacies that you like to shop in a different way. And by putting the data into the database about your drugs and your preferred pharmacies, we wind up with all of the drug plans available in your area from the lined up from the cheapest to the most expensive, and the difference can be astounding. So do what I do, or let me do it for you, is give me the data and let me plug it into the database that the government maintains on Medicare.gov and let that database select the cheapest drug plan for you. Because you can change your drug plan every year at the end of the year, you can also do it and pick out a new drug plan for the following year. So once again, Diane's advice was good, but it didn't go far enough. So what do we have here? Let's see. Oh, here's a short little thing. You might remember a prior episode not too long ago, I read a blurb that said that Medicare supplement people, members of Medicare supplement plans, are happy as clams with their benefits and their costs and the type of coverage they have, the protection against big time medical expenses because of their excellent Medicare supplement coverage. Now, here's a little article that says Medicare Advantage and Medicare supplement members are equally satisfied with their coverage, but they have different worries. So Randy's shaking his head. Nah, that can't be. Well, let's see what this article says. Medicare Advantage and Medicare supplement enrollees both reported high levels of satisfaction with their coverage, according to a survey from eHealth. In the survey published March 21st, 89% of Medicare Advantage enrollees said they were satisfied with their coverage, and 87% of enrollees in Medicare supplement plans said the same. Though respondents to eHealth survey reported similar levels of satisfaction, the enrollees differed in several other areas. One area of difference was Medicare supplement enrollees reported higher incomes than their counterparts with Medicare Advantage. Half of the Medicare supplement enrollees reported an annual income higher than $50,000, compared to 27% of Medicare Advantage enrollees that had a $50,000 income. Another element, around half of Medicare Advantage enrollees said they could not afford any Medicare coverage with premium costs. Just 12% of Medicare supplement enrollees said they could not afford the monthly premium. And around 6 in 10 said that they could afford the premiums of $100 per month or more. A third point is Medicare supplement enrollees were more likely to report having enough in savings to cover their maximum out-of-pocket costs if they're hospitalized. 6 in 10 Medicare supplement enrollees reported having enough savings compared to 4 in 10 Medicare Advantage enrollees. So I think the whole point here is that Medicare Supplement enrollees tend to be better situated when it comes to fiscal stability, fiscal resources, financial resources. Finally, enrollees reported different concerns. Medicare Supplement enrollees were more likely to list having their Medicare benefits reduced as their top future healthcare worry. Medicare Advantage enrollees were more likely to report concerns about not being able to afford their care. Now, and that would be true because Medicare Advantage plans have high cost sharing. So if you have to go into a hospital, you're going to find yourself paying hundreds of dollars a day under many Medicare Advantage plans. If you need other types of treatment, you're going to be sharing the cost with the insurance company. Unlike a Medicare Advantage plan with regular Medicare, it's unlikely that your treatment is going to be covered at 100% or even, you know, 75%. And so the survey was conducted in February of 2023, gathered responses from almost 4,000 people who bought Medicare Advantage or Medicare Supplement plans through eHealth, that company that ran the survey. So anyway, that's an interesting thing I think the overall truth there, the fact that we're dealing with is that Medicare Supplement is mostly purchased by people with more substantial financial means, and Medicare Advantage plans are often purchased by those with fewer financial resources. So whatever that means, it means that you're going to feel better if you pay a little bit more for your coverage and get the far superior Medicare Supplement plan. Your worries, I think, will be less numerous. So I've got Randy staring at me like, hey, isn't it lunchtime yet? Are we going to keep yakking about this stuff all day long? And my answer is, if I could, I would, but I probably shouldn't. What do you think, Randy?
I just wanted to let you know the crickets have chirped.
Yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that. You did have, you were alluded to the fact that you might have another stump the insurance expert question having to do with one of our favorite Old West characters.
Yes. Well, I was going to play just a one question stump the Medicare expert that had, it was related to the word Tonto.
Oh, yes.
Those of you who are, you know, back in the day, I'm one of the older ones of the crew here. Doug's just a youngster. So I asked him if he knew in various languages what the word Tonto meant. And he said, I just don't know. Well, I looked it up. And I do know, so I would like you to tell me what the word Tonto means in Spanish, and I would like you to tell me what Tonto means in Apache.
Okay, you're not asking me what the word Kemosabe means, which, as I recall from the joke, means you dumb effer, but
yeah, Tonto. Well, that's, yeah, absolutely. Well, Kemosabe, actually, that I understand the value of, under, you know, that definition, but I'm going the other way. What did Jay Silverheels have for an, I mean, obviously he was the actor. What did he put up with in terms of the name of his actor name, Tonto?
Yeah, well, let me ask you this. Did he complain about cashing the checks? I know they didn't have any residuals back then, but he had a fairly lengthy career playing Tonto. And
I doubt it. I really doubt it, because he never really had a lot of dialogue.
No, it was all kind of abbreviated dialogue.
Yeah, I don't think he had to memorize much dialogue for each, you know, in preparation for each episode. So I think, you know, probably in terms of his enjoyment of that role, I would put it probably at about a good solid 9.
Yeah, I will tell you that it was either Mad Magazine or a stand-up comedian that portrayed Jay Silverheels as being ordered to go to town. Oh, maybe it was Bill Cosby. Anyway, Tonto, go into town and find out, you know, when the mayor is going to, you know, be giving his speech or something like that. I'm not going into town. Every time I go into town, I get kicked around like a, you know, piece of dirt, and I'm not going to do it anymore. There was a whole thing about Tonto being sent to town to get information about stuff and coming back bloody and beat up and everything. But the other connection to Tonto that I remember vaguely is a scene in the High Sierra with Humphrey Bogart, when the outlaws ride into their camp and they're trying to be friendly. They're trying to say, give us your guns, give us your gold and whatever. And Humphrey Bogart says, get the heck out of here. And the leader of the outlaws say, don't Tonto, I believe is what he says. Hard to tell what he said exactly, but it sounded like he used the word Tonto against the white gringos that he was talking to. My knowledge of the word Tonto has just been used up. So you're going to have to tell me.
Well, in the native language of Apache, Tonto means, I don't know, I'm just reading this, soggy bush.
Oh, geez. How does a bush get soggy?
I don't know.
I guess you'd have to ask an Apache, huh?
That I'll have to find me an Apache and ask them to do a little translation to their native language. But in Spanish, Tonto means crazy person or fool.
Really? Well, I doubt that the Lone Ranger would be calling his faithful Indian companion a fool or a crazy person knowingly. Do you?
I don't think so. Well, then the other side of that, Doug, is that Tonto used to refer to him as Kemosabe.
Yeah.
I think in my opinion, Kemosabe meant idiot.
Yeah, well, my favorite cartoon is the Indians are surrounding Tonto and Kemosabe in their camp, and the Lone Ranger says, Tonto, we're in a heap of trouble. And Tonto says, what you mean we, white man?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I love having those types of little bits of information, but the reason it came into mind, folks, is that I went on a Jeep ride into Tonto National Forest, which is just right out my back door here, darn near. And the driver, Big Dave told me, and I didn't know this, but Big Dave told me that Tonto National Forest is what, about 2.3 million acres. So That's a pretty good place to go. And you're not going to run out of stuff to see.
Well, you're going to run out of gas before you actually see all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I enjoyed the heck out of that. So anyway, let's go ahead and sign her off for today. Our 75 cents is running low. The crickets have chirped, but there's a couple things I always like to do before we hang up the phone here. Doug Jones is a nationwide licensed agent to help you with your Medicare supplement needs and your drug needs for Part D. He loves to get email at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Check out the website, MedicareForTheLazyMan.com. We've been doing a bit of work on it, and I think it's going just the right direction, and it's pretty cool, I think. But that's just me. So bottom line is, Doug already talked about the paperback. He already talked about the audio, the Kindle. However, one thing I would like to ask you all, do us a favor, find a place to give us a ranking on our podcast and or book. 5 stars would be really cool if you could pull that one off. But having said all that, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, originally from Oklahoma, now living in the high mountains behind Cave Creek, Arizona, in his fortress of solitude. And I'm going to have to put it in today at about 12,753 feet.
It's cold up here, Randy. It's cold up here. Goodbye, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.